lecture. Let us read the portion which we did in the last webinar. Shloka 35. Yoga Kshema Durandarastha Sakalaha Shreya Pradot Yoginaha Drishta Drishta Matopadesha Kritinaha Bahyantara Vyapinaha Sarvajnyasya Dayakarasya Bhavataha Kim Veditavyam Mayaham Shambhotvam Paramantaranga Iti Me Chitte Smaramyanvaham. Bhakto Bhakti Gunavrute Mudamrita Purne Prasanne Manaha Kumbhe Sambata Vangri Pallava Yugam Samstapya Samvitpalam Sattvam Mantra Mudirayan Nijashari Ragara Shuddhim Vahanne Punyaham Prakatika Romi Ruchiram Kalyana Mapadayan Amna Yambudi Madarena Sumana Sanghasa Mudhyan Manaha Mantanam Drida Bhakti Raju Sahitam Kritva Matitva Tataha Somam Kalpatarum Suparva Surabhim Chintamanim Dhimatam Nityananda Sudham Nirantara Rama Saubhagya Matanvate Prag Punya Chala Marga Darshida Sudha Murti Prasanna Shivaha Soma Sadguna Sevito Mrigadaraha Purnasta Momo Chakaha Cheta Pushkara Lakshito Bhavati Chedananda Pato Nidhihim Pragal Bhena Mijrimbate Sumanasam Prithistada Jayate Dharmo Me Chaturangrigas Sucharitaha Papam Vinasham Gatam Kama Krodha Madadayo Vigalitaha Kala Sukha Vishkritaha Jnanananda Mahaushadhi Supalita Kaivalyanathe Sada Manye Manasa Pundarika Nagare Rajavatam Sestite Dhiyantrena Vachoghatena Kavitam Kulyopa Kulyakramaihi Anidaischa Sadashivascha Charitam Borasi Divyamrutaihi Hritke Dhara Yutascha Bhakti Kalamaham Sapalya Matanvate Durbhikshan Mama Sevakasya Bhagavan Vishvesha Bhiti Kutaham Papotpatham Vimochanaya Ruchiraishwaryaya Mrityum Jayas Totra Dhyana Nadi Pratakshina Saparya Loka Lokanakarnane Jihva Chitta Shirongri Hasta Nayana Shrotrairaham Pratitaham Mama Agnyapayata Nirupaya Mukur Mabhimameva Mameva Chaham Gambiryam Parikapadam Ganadrutihim Prakara Udhyat Gana Stomas Chapta Palam Ganendriya Chayo Dwarani Dehe Stitaham Vidya Vastu Samriddhi Ritya Kila Samagrim Samete Sadaham Durghati Priya Deva Mamaka Mano Durge Nivasam Kurum Magachatvam Itastato Girishabho Mayyeva Vasam Kurum Swaminnadikirata Mamakamanaha Kantara Simantare Vartante Bahusho Mrigamuda Jusho Matsarya Mohadayaha Tanhatva Mrigaya Vinoda Ruchita Labam Cham Samprapsyati Samprapsyasi. We covered up to here in the last class. Now let us continue with today's portion. Shloka 44. This shloka is in a peculiar meter, so it cannot be chanted with any musical tune or anything. It's like a poem. So let us just read it like a prose. Kara lagna mrigaha karindra bango ganashardula vikanda nostajantuhu Girisho Vishadakritischa Chetaha Kuhare Pancha Mukostime Kutobhihi. This is Shloka 44. As I told, this is a Vishama Vritta, not a Samavritta, a Vishama Vritta. And after all these prayers, 43 shlokas of so many prayers, the Lord, he has now come and he occupies the mind of the devotee. So Shiva is very pleased. And once the devotee has discovered the presence of the Lord in his heart, what type of courage and confidence that devotee has, that is what is pointed out in this shloka by Acharya. It is the greatest strength. He can say, let the whole world go away from me. I don't care. Let no human being blackmail me. I have the greatest support. And Shankaracharya reveals the inner strength with an example in this shloka. Suppose, for example, a person is in a forest. He will be naturally afraid of all the wild animals. And imagine, to support him, this person has got a lion with him. How comfortable that person will feel, that is what is picturized here. Similarly, our life is like a forest. It's like a forest life, surrounded by so many wild animals, so many wild situations, frightening situations. And we have the lion of Lord with us as a devotee. So the devotee says, Kutaha bihi. The last line, you say, Kutaha bihi. Where bihi means fear. What fear or anxiety do I have? Because I have a lion, Shiva, with me to move around in this forest of life. And in this shloka, we get the description. It's a peculiar one done in a pun form. Two meanings. Both, it's a pun kind of figure of speech, like what we said earlier also, where each word has two meanings. One meaning will apply to Lord Shiva, and the other meaning will apply to lion, a lion. So it's a poetically very beautiful analogy between them. And this lion lord, we can call lion lord, is occupying the cave. The lion, it stays in a cave in the forest. And what is the cave here? Chetaha kuhare. The mind, chetaha means the mind, the heart. The mind itself, kuhare, is the kuhara means the cave. In all the Upanishads, mind is compared to a cave. For example, Yo Vedanihitam Guhayam Parame Vyoman. Guhayam. Guha is cave. Tam Turdarsham Guda Anupravishtam Guhahitam Gahvareshtam Puranam. So, Guha everywhere. Guha means a cave. And the word used for the Lord and the lion is also Panchamukaha. So, Guha, the Lord also lives in the cave of my heart. The Lord resides, and in the cave, the lion also resides. And for both the Lord and the lion, the Acharya uses the word Panchamukaha, the five-faced ones. As I told, every word has double meaning. Now, the five-faced one, the Lord Shiva, Panchamukaha, like Brahmaji has four mukhas. He is called Chaturmukha Brahma. And Subramanya has got six faces. He is called Shanmukha. So in the scriptures, each mukha is named also for the Lord. For example, Tatpurusha, Aghora, Vamadeva, Satyojada, Ishana. These are all various names for each of the five faces of the Lord. And this Panchamukha Ishwaraha and the Lord is revealed through the Panchakshari mantra, Namashivaya. The word Pancha has got also another meaning in addition. This is a wide, big mouth. When you apply, so Panchamukha, Pancha means a wide and big. Mukha means the mouth. So when we apply to Shiva, Pancha is five. And when you apply to the lion, Pancha is wide, it's big. And Mukha is the mouth. So that is why we have got this Panchapatram. You know, we use it for doing all our Sandhyavandana karma and all. It is called Panchapatram. So it has a wide mouth and a narrow waist or bottom. So the big mouthed lion, when it is open, particularly the mouth when it is open, it's very big. Actually, in the circuses and all, we have seen the guy would put even his head into the mouth of this lion. So big. And what type of Panchamukha it is? Kara Lagna Mrigaha. The first line, Kara Lagna Mrigaha, a Panchamukha which has got a deer in one hand. Kare Lagnaha Mrigaha Yasya. And here also we have got two meaning. A lion, after killing a deer, it holds the deer under its paw for eating. So, kare lagnaha mrigaha. Mrigaha means deer. Holding a deer under its paw, it is the lion. And what about Lord Shiva? In one hand, he has a deer. So, he is called Mrigadaraha. We saw in one of the shlokas earlier, he is called Mrigadaraha. Deer, somebody asked the question also, what is the significance of deer? We said Indriyas. Particularly, it is the Antar Indriyam, namely the mind, Manaha. A deer is always restless. If you watch the movement of the deer, the eyes, the ears, they are always restless. It's a very weak and a very timid animal. So, it is always restless. That is how the deer is. And mind is supposed to be like that, always wandering. And Shiva holds the deer, indicating the restless mind of the devotee. He takes over the mind of the devotee. Actually, in the previous shloka, we said the devotee offered his mind as a pushpam to the Lord. So here the Lord takes control of the devotee. So both have deer in hand, the lion also and the Lord also. And so both are called Kara Lagna Mrigaha. Then if you see the next description, it says Kareendra Bhangaha. Kareendra Bhangaha means, Bhangaha means destroyer. The one who destroyed even huge elephants. This is applicable to both the lion, because lion also destroyed huge elephants. And Lord Shiva also, like a lion, he destroyed a huge asura. In the mythology, he is called Gajamukha Asura. So a person with the head of an mukham of an elephant. So he killed that elephant, this asura. So he is called again Kareendra Bhangaha. Only after the destroying this asura, the Lord, what he did, he took the skin of this elephant which he destroyed and made it as a dress for him. So he wore that dress. And that is why Lord Shiva has got a name, Gaja Charma Dharaha, the one who wears the skin of the elephant. And Gana Shardulam Vikandanaha, the destroyer of the powerful tiger, the Lord. Lion destroys also powerful tigers. Lion is the only element which can destroy a tiger also. Shardulaha. And Lord Shiva also destroyed an asura called Vyagrasuraha. That is a Vyagrasuraha. So, and even converted his skin. So, and made it as an Angavastram for him. Vyagra Charmottariyancha Paranyamabhaya Pradam. This is what this says in the Lagunyasa portion of Sri Rudram. So, he is wearing this Vyagra Charma, the skin of the tiger, as a Uttariya. So he has got the elephant skin, as maybe you know, you need both the dhoti and also angavastram, both. So that's what he is having, both of them. So Gana Sardulam Vikradhandaha, destroyer. Not only that, Astajantuho, lion being the most powerful animal, it is capable of destroying all other animals also. And so is Lord Shiva also. At the time of Pralaya, he can destroy all creatures. Here, jantus include human beings also. So, anything that has janma is jantu. Astaha jantavaha yenasaha asta jantuho. So, asta nirastaha jantavaha anyatra astaha sorupe linaha and jantavaha isya. So, not only that, Girishaha, the Lord, he also resides in the mountains, Girishaha, and so does the lion. Therefore, both are Girishaha. And also, Vishada Akritihi, endowed with a shining skin. Both of them have got a shining skin, resplendent skin, very clear form of the Lord. Lion also, in its original nature, not the circus lions perhaps, in the original nature, it has a shiny skin. So does the Lord. And such a lion-like Lord Shiva, who is the ruler of the whole universe, what is he doing? He is residing in my heart because I prayed to him and he is so happy. He resides in my heart. When Sri Rudram is recited, because the Lord is recited with so much all his glories and so much of namaskarams are offered to him. Namaste Rudra Manyava Utovata Ishave Namaha. Namaste Rudra Manyave. So for the anger of the Lord, I am doing namaskaram to him. So right from that onwards, there are so many namaskarams offered to the Lord, that is in surrender. When a person places the ego at the feet of the Lord and surrenders to Him, the Lord is very happy and He is ready to give anything the devotee asks. And the entire Chamakam narrates about 400 and odd items for a person to ask of that Lord, who is very ready to give all of them. So when this Lord, when He is residing in my heart, why should I be afraid of anything in creation? That is what he is asking. So the sign of real devotion is fearlessness. Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. The Lord assures their yogakshema. So a frightened person and a devotee both cannot coexist. If a person is a real devotee, he should not have any fear, because Lord is the person who is holding on to him. He is the person who is protecting him. So he should not have any fear at all. And chetaha kuhare, actually that is actually one word. Kuharam means cave, as I told. And panchamukha asti, so me kutaha bihi. When that panchamukha Shiva, when he is protecting me, when he is staying in my heart, what is there for me to afraid of? That is why Upanishad also says, Nabibeti kutaschaneti taitriyam. So there is no need for any fear at all. So whenever one has fear, they chant these words. It looks shloka number 44. And suddenly from somewhere, they are believed to have enormous strength. So this shloka is another interesting shloka where abhayam is assured by reciting Lord's glory. This abhayam is assured for the devotee. That is what the shloka is about. Shloka 44. Now let us go to shloka 45.
Chantashakishi kanvitaihi vijavaraihi samsevite shashvatehi saukhyapadini kedabhedini sudhasarair palairdipite chetapakshishi kamane tyajavrita sancharamanyairalam Nityam Shankara Pada Padma Yugali Nide Viharam Kurum.
Now Chandashaki means, Shaka means the branches. Chandas refers to the Vedas. So Chandashaki, the tree having the Vedas as the branches, for its branches. And Shika Anvitaihi, it's possessed of all the Upanishads as the top. Shika means, you know, the Shika. So it is the topmost part in the head. So that is the place, the Upanishads. The Vedas Yantaha Vedanta is all in the Upanishads. So that is there as the Shika. Veda, the Shika, Upanishads. And Dvijavaraihi. Dvijavaraihi means, Dvijaha means twice born. A person is, birds are supposed to be born twice, because first they appear in the form of egg, and from the egg the bird comes. So they are twice born. And the humans also, for example, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaisyas, all that thing I have explained earlier, they are also considered to be twice born, because the first birth is for the physical, biological parents, and the second birth is for Gayatri Mata and the Acharya. So that is supposed to be the second birth. So they are Dvijavaraihi. By all those learned people who are all great people, they are like birds, you know, we can call, because they are also the birds which are twice born. So these are all scholarly people. Some say vite, it's very well worshipped. You are the Lord who is very well worshipped by all these people. And shashvate, you are eternal. The person who is eternal. Saukhya apadini means the one who causes happiness always. Saukhyam, all kinds of comforts, assurances. Saukhyam, security. Apadini, you cause all that. And keda bhedini. Keda means all pains and sorrow, misery. You are the one, Bhedini, who destroys all of them. And Sudha Dharaihi Palaihi, with fruits of what? The nectar, the honey, as the fruit. You know, having this, the nectar, Amritam, with all, for all my karma, whatever karma palam I get, they are all based on your blessing now, because of. Actually, this is why in Saundarya Lahari, Acharya, he gives a very beautiful shlokam. Shloka, I don't know, 10 or 11, something like that. Sudha dhara sarehim, sharana yugalandar vigalidehim, prapancham sinchanti. So your lotus like feet, between them this amritam, amrita dhara is coming out, is gushing out. And what it does, when I do namaskaram to you, the body of mine, which is made up of all the five elements, through every nadi, every nerve center, it goes and wets all of them and makes me real effulgent, a person with the grace of the goddess Parashakti. That's what Acharya says in Saundari Lahari. So Sudha Sarehi Palaihi, with the fruits of this nectar, Amritam, Deepite, which shines, Chetaha Pakshishikamane. Pakshishikamane, Pakshi is bird. Pakshishikamane means we can the Shikamane, like the greatest bird, or the, we can say the chief of all the birds, whatever it is, which is Chetaha, my mind. My mind is like a bird. Where he is also trying to call it a Shikamane, a bird which is like a very, very significant bird, a bird which is like a chief of all the birds. Tyaja Vritha Sancharam. So he is addressing to this mind, O mind, you have got, please give up your Vritha Sancharam. Vritha means all your purposeless, all for vainful roaming here and there. Don't be looking at here and there, because the nature of mind is to wander. Sankalpa Vikalpatmakam Manaha. That is the definition of manas. It always wanders from here and there. It vacillates. Nischayatmika Buddhihi. The Buddhi alone makes an informed decision, whereas the mind always wanders here and there. So he addresses the mind, O mind, who are like this Pakshi, this bird, going here and there. Give up all that purposeless roaming, flying here and there. Anyaihi alam, enough of that. Alam means enough. All those things are enough. No more of that. Nityam, always. Shankara Pata Padma Yugali Nide. That is the nest in the lotus feet of the Lord Shiva. So what do you do? Viharam Kuru. You go stay there and play there in the nest, at the feet of the Lord. Surrender yourself to the Lord. O mind, don't be roaming about here and there. And to that Ishvara, to that Lord, who is eternal, who is well-worshipped, Samsevite, who is Shashvate, who is Saukya Apadini, who causes happiness, who causes Mangalam to us, Keta Bedini, who destroys all our sorrows and pain, Sudha Sarehi Palehi, with all, for all our bhakti, this is what the palam that he gives is the nectar of the amritam he gives. And that, to that Lord, O mind, go and surrender unto him, and without wandering here and there. So that is the prayer the devotee makes here. And actually this Pakshishikamane, here the mind is considered to be a great bird, because instead of, for the mind roaming around here and there, why unnecessarily it has to struggle, roaming here and there and trying to spend time, and at the end also it doesn't have peace of mind. For that, if the mind has to have kshemam, if it has to have auspiciousness, security and all peace, what all it has to do? It has to go to the lotus feet of the Lord only. That is the nest. That is where the mind has to rest, and then it has to spend its time in that place. So that is what the prayer is. So again, the mind is considered to be a bird. Shloka 46. Akirne nakaraji kanti vibhavai rudyat sudhavai bhavaihi adau te picha padmaraga lalite hamsavrajairashrite nityam bhakti vadhuganaischa rahasi swechha viharam kuru sthitva manasa raja hamsa girija nathangri saudhantare. Again, the mind is addressed as Rajahamsa. In this case, Rajahamsa. And there is a beautiful imagination that the feet of the Lord, all the nails in the feet of the Lord, they are all, you know, glittering and shining with all Aishwaryam. And he has got the crescent moon that is on him, and all the rays of the moon, it all falls on all the places, and the entire thing looks very white. and the nails are also not only that, as if they are studded with Padmaraga, the red Padmaraga stones. They are all glittering like that. And all the Paramahamsas, the great sages, they are all Paramahamsas. They are all great, very wise swans. They all pray to that Lord. And such a Lord, who is Parvatipati, at the lotus feet of that Lord, please stay there in privacy. And along with the other ladies called Bhakti, and worship that Lord. So this is another very imaginative poem where the mind is addressed as the royal swan, Rajahamsam. Akirne, Akirne means spread over. It is spread over where Nakaraji Kanti, Nakaraji Kanti, Naka means the nails. So the luster, Kanti, the luster from the Raji means the series of nails at the feet of the Lord. So the luster from the feet of the Lord, from the nails, vibhavaihi, by their greatness, udyat sudha vaibhavaihi, with the glorious, the nectar, sudha, sudha means the nectar, the amritam. Adavute means it glistens, that feet is glistening, the nails are all glistening. Cha padmaraga lalite, very beautiful, studded with the beautiful rubies, red rubies. Kamsa Vrajaihi, by the Vraja, Kamsa means the ascetics, the sages who are called Kamsas. So the Kamsa Vrajaihi, by the groups of the ascetics, Ashrite, they are all dependent on that Lord. Always, Nityam, they are dependent. Bhakti Vadu Ganaihi Cha. Bhakti means, the here, Bhakti is taken as a lady. So the groups of people, Bhaktis, who are all showing Bhakti, Bhakti as group of is personified. Devotion is personified as group of Vadu, normally means the bride. The Bhakti here is taken as a feminine, and those groups of Bhakti, Rahasi, in privacy. In privacy, they all worship the Lord. Svecha Viharam Kuru, at your own will, you worship the Lord in privacy. Having stayed, Stitva means having stayed at the feet of the Lord. Manasa Rajahamsa, O royal swan of the mind, my mind is like a Rajahamsam. Girija Nathangri, in the feet of Girija Natha. See, there is normally people make it this scholars, you know, scholars always make interpretations. They say a person who becomes a crorepati, a person who is very rich, they call him Lakshmipati. Even though Mahavishnu only is Lakshmipati, but a person who becomes very rich, has a lot of money, they call him Lakshmipati. And for Saraswati, the consort is Lord Brahma. So Saraswati Pati is only Lord Brahma. But a person who is endowed with lot of knowledge, they call him Saraswati Vallabha. So the person, so even though Brahmaji is only called Saraswati Vallabha, but a person with lot of knowledge also is called. Whereas the Acharya wonders in some other context, when it comes to Parvatipati, there is only one person, that Parvatipati is only Lord Shiva. Nobody can be called that Pati for Lord Shiva. She is Girijapati or Parvatipati. So that is that Lord. That is the glory of that Lord. So in that, so Girija Natha Angri, in the feet, Angri means the feet, in the feet of the Girija Natha, the Lord of Girija, Parvati, Saudhantare, in the great mansion, Saudhantari means this is the great mansion. There is a, it's an imaginative thing. In that great mansion, you reside and worship that Lord, O Rajahamsam. So that is what the poetic thing is. So Nakaraji, Nakaraji Kanti Vibhavaihi. Actually, Lalita Sahasranamam worships the Amba like this. Nakaditi Sanchanam Namajanatamo Gunayai Namaha. It's a beautiful mantra. So all those people who worship the goddess, who fall at her feet, who do namaskaram to her, what she does? She removes all the darkness in their heart by the sheer luster of the nails of her feet. So those who do namaskaram to goddess, goddess Lalita Parameshwari, right, the moment you fall at her feet, the sheer luster, the shine of her, the nails of her feet, they remove the darkness of ignorance for them. So that is a very poetic way of trying to worship the goddess. So this is a beautiful mantra. Nakaditi sanchanna namajjana tamogunayai namaha. And Hamsaha, this is here in this mantra, it is not just any pakshi. This is just Hamsa. Hamsa is swan. Hamsa is, you know, Hamsa mantrartha dhyana paraha. That is what normally they mean. So Hamsaha soham. So Hamsa Hamsaya vidmahe paramahamsaya dhimahi tanno Hamsa prachodaya. There is a Hamsa Gayatri also. So this Hamsa mantra. So the one who reveals the inner meaning of Hamsa mantra, soham. I am that Lord. You can, it's like a Mahavakyam. I am that Lord. I am that Paramatma Swarupam. So that is what these sages, all these people, that's why they are called Hamsa. Hamsa means these are all people who are realized souls, who are jnanis. So those people, they ever revel in that kind of a knowledge. So this is the, and again, Sauda, these are all Sauda, the Saudantare, the great mansion is supposed to be a mansion with lot of steps. There are so many stairs. So many stairs, first floor, second floor, third floor, and all that. So many, these things are there. And in that mansion, with so many stories, then in the Satyaloka, and above that, you know, Om Bhuhu Bhuvaha Subaha Maha Janaha Tapaha Satyam. All these seven lokas are there. And in Satyaloka, Brahmaji is there. And even above the Satyaloka, the feet of the Lord is there. So in that feet, that is where I want to reside my heart. That is what the meaning is. And again, Sudha refers to sometimes, you know, the nectar. Sudha also refers to the pure white form, Chandrakala. So the Nakakanti is like that, is supposed to be so pure white and all that things. And Padmaraga, like it means the one Padmaraga is that red stone. The stone, it's a mansion which is with walls studded with all the Padmaraga stones. You know, for imagination, you can always be very rich, right? One doesn't have to think this and that. You can always make a mansion of Padmaraga and all those great stones than just bricks and mortar and all those kinds of things. So that is the Padam of the Lord, which is so red like the lotus flower. And all these Paramahamsas, Bhakti Vaduhu, we said Bhakti as a feminine gender here, Vaduhu, I said, it's a bride. All these Paramahamsas, they don't go after the wealth of the Mahalakshmi. The Mahalakshmi of wealth, they don't go after her. They go after the Bhakti Lakshmi. They don't go to the wealth, money Lakshmi. They go to Bhakti Lakshmi. That's what, another figuratively, that's what he tells by saying Bhakti Vaduhu. These are, as I told you, they are all poetically very revealing slokas. Shloka 47.
Shambhudhyana vasanta sanghini hrida rame adajirna chadaham srastha bhakti lada chada vilasitaham punya pravala shritaham dipyante gunakoraka japavachaham pushpani sadvasanaham Jnananda Sudha Maranda Lahareem Samvit Palabhyunnatihi
Samvit Palabhyunnatihi Unnati. So this is another beautiful shloka where the Lord, you know, again bhakti part of it is again mentioned. So Shambhu's Dhyanam, the meditation upon the Lord, that love meditation with the association of Vasanta Rutu. So, with the association of that, in the heart, which is like a flower garden. So, in that heart, there are a lot of leaves, which are all already, you know, yellow colored leaves. They are ready to fall. They are all very ripe, those leaves, with all sins, papam. And they all, in this garden, they all fall away. Just because the thinking, the meditation on the Lord, because of the spring of dhyanam. So they all fall away. And after they fall, new creepers, they come out. And because of that dhyanam, lot of punya happens and they all sprout. And all the gunas, all the good virtues, they all emanate from there. And japa and all those things, mantra pushpas, they all bloom. And all kinds of sattva karmas, all kinds of great vasanas, they are all emanating from such a dhyana, for such a worship. And at the end, jnanananda, that amritam, that honey, that comes out, and brahma jnanam, that is what finally a person is trying to attain through this bhakti. Of course, one should be very careful. It is not, I have told many times, it is not just bhakti that will give jnanam directly. One has to go through so many things like shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all that. But the things prepare a person to be eligible for pursuing the jnana marga. So, Shambhu Dhyana Vasanta. Vasanta is Vasanta Ritu, the spring season. The spring season of meditation on Shambhu. Shambhu, the Lord who is the Mangalakarta, the one who always bestows happiness and Mangalam. Sangini. Sangini means in association, in the union, of whom Hrid Arame, in the garden of the heart. Arame, Arama means a place where you can relax. So this is Hridarame, in the garden of the heart. Aga Jirna Chadaha. Aga means papa. So all the old leaves, the ripe leaves of sin, what happens there? Srastaha, they all fall away by this bhakti, by meditating on this Lord. And when spring season comes, all these old leaves, they all fall away. Already they are gone. And Bhakti Latha Chata, all the creepers of devotion, what they do? Velasitaha, they appear. All the other papams, they are all gone. And Bhakti Latha, that sprouts. And Dipyante, they come forth. They blaze forth, or they shine forth. And Guna Korakaha, the butts of virtue, that is gunas, all these great virtues, they come. For a bhakta, that's what it means. For a bhakta, no, all these bad qualities, they don't even come near him. All these durbhiksha and all those things don't even touch those people. In their presence, all these things go away. So, guna korakaha, all the butts of virtues, they appear. Japa vachaha pushpani, all the flowers of the words of prayers, each word is a flower. It is an offering to the Lord, because this is vakstuti. So person, he doesn't have to have that flower and this flower. By really doing manasa japa, and also a person worshipping with the stotras, with all those flowers, they do archana to that Lord. Satvasana, all the goodness, all the sattvic qualities, all the satkarmas, all these good thoughts, they only linger in those hearts. Jnana Ananda Sudha, the nectar, Ananda Sudha of knowledge, Jnanananda. The Jnanalanja means this bliss. Jnanananda, Maranda Lahari, and the flower juice, the juice in the nectar, in the flowers. This is again bhakti. All these are all describing bhakti bhava. So they all, Samvit Pala Abhyunnatihi. Unnati means the exalted portion. So, Samvitpalam means the fruit of knowledge. The fruit of knowledge is exalted in such a person, in such a bhakta. So, again, this is another beautiful imagination, because all those good qualities, they come by doing what? By doing Shivadhyanam. And when they say the creepers, the cluster of all these creepers of bhakti, there are so many bhaktis we already mentioned in the beginning. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Vishnoho, Ashamboho, Shravanam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam. So all those various forms of bhakti, they all emanate by dhyana of that Lord. They all get embodied. They all come there. And Shiva dhyana is like Vasanta Ritu. So Vasanta Ritu always gives us peace of mind, happiness. It always gives us relaxation. That's what Shiva Dhyana does to us. And all the great qualities. For example, if you take a king, he is going from one place to another place. And when that person goes, before the king arrives there, what happens? All the other arrangements are all made. The place is made right. The every attendant, they are all in attention. All the comforts that the king needs, they are all already prepared and ready. So the same way, when Shiva Dhyana is done, when the Lord is ready to come and occupy that heart of the devotee, the heart has already prepared itself by acquiring all good qualities, bhakti, good virtues, everything, all those things, it has this thing. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, there is one full chapter, Daivasura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga, chapter 16. And this I have mentioned in previous lectures also. The first three shlokas that talk about the various qualities, this Daivi Sampat, the various divinely qualities a person has to acquire. And all this person, this bhakta, is endowed with all such divine qualities by doing Shiva Dhyanam. Shiva Dhyanam has such a great mahima. Shloka 48.
Nityanandarasalayam suramuni swantambujatashrayam swacham sadvijasevitam kalushahrit sadvasanavishkritam shambudhyana sarovaram brajamano kamsavatam sastiram kimshudrashraya palvala brahmana sanjatashramam prapsyasim.
This is shloka 48. So here also, this is also another shloka, which is again, all of them are beautiful shlokas in terms of poetic splendor. So this shloka also, there are lot of similar these things. So here, the mind is again addressed as a swan. A mind, the swan, Kamsa. This Nityanandam is what? Shivananda is Nityananda. So Nityanandam, that is for the Shivananda, the Nityananda, for that water, that's the Lord. And for Devas and the Rishis, for all those people, in their heart, their heart is compared to a lotus. So it is like the abode of all the hearts of all these people. It is without any kind of sins or any kind of impurities, Nirmala. So it is supposed to be the great sages and all the wise people. They are again compared to the Hamsas, as I told you, like the previous swans. They are the heart that the Lord who is worshipped by all of them, and the one who is capable of removing all the sins are the impurities of a person, and also who can make a person flavor with punya, because by his mere grace, such a Lord. So the dhyana of Shambhu, of such a Lord, O mind, please attain that particular water hole. Please go and reach that place which is endowed with all these great things. That is Shiva's grace. So why do you, when you have to go and approach such a Lord's feet, why are you going and praising all other people and then putting your life in all that gutter and trying to spend your life in such an unwise manner and unnecessarily putting also yourself into trouble? So don't go to, so Shakkani Rajamargamu, when that is there, why are you going to all other parts of these things and all other ways and trying to hurt yourself in the problem, in the process, you don't gain anything also. So Nityananda means eternal happiness. Rasa Alayam, so the abode of Nityananda. So this is the abode of all the rasam. Rasam means the essence of all virtues and all that thing. Sura Muni Swanta. Sura Muni means all those, the celestial sages. Suras means the devas. So celestial stages, the mind of all the celestial sages. Ambujata Ashrayam. Ambujata, Ambu means Ambujata, the lotus that is in the waters. So Ashrayam, the resort of all the lotuses. And which is clear, Swacham. And Sadvija Sevitam, which is worship. These are all for the feet of the Lord. How great the Lord's feet is. So Sadvija Sevitam, worshipped by the wise, all the Hamsas. The wise birds here means the Hamsas. Sadvija Sevitam. Dvija refers to the Hamsas here. Are the Brahmins, are the people who are all the twice born people, who are all the scholars. And Kalusha Hrita, that can remove the smiths, the sin in the hearts. So it will destroy all the sins in the heart. Sadvasana Avishkritam, possessed by the fragrance of Sadvasanas, all good virtues. Because Vasana should be always clear. It should be always clean. It should be sattvic vasanas. We don't want to entertain all other vasanas at all. Shambhu Dhyana Sarovara. Sarovara means the lake. So Dhyana Sarovara means the lake of meditation on whom? On Shambhu, Shambhu Dhyana Sarovaram, who is the bestower of all joy, all auspiciousness of Mangalam, Vraja. So what do? You think of that and withdraw from what? Mana Hamsa Avatamsa. O swan of the mind, which is like a crust jewel, Avatamsa. O Mana, that Hamsa, permanently you withdraw, Stiram. Kim Shudrashraya, the resort of the mean people. You don't want those people at all. Withdraw from all of them and make stay on the feet of the Lord, on the imagination of the Lord, on the thinking, meditation of the Lord. Palvala Brahmana, your heart is now roaming where? In the Palvala. Palvala means that in the puddle, in the gutter of Brahma. Your call is now Palvala Brahma. In the Brahma, it is going around here and there. So get out of that. Sanjata Shramam Prapsesi. By that you are incurring lot of Shramam to yourself, causing lot of fatigue to yourself, or problems to yourself. So don't go around them. Get out of them and then meditate upon that Lord, so that Lord will be the abode who will relieve you of all those things. So this Shudrashraya Palvalam, this is a very beautiful this thing. You know, all the sages and all those people, you know, in the sages in Bhagavatam, actually there is a very beautiful analogy here. So people who are all having the words which are all very, very difficult to comprehend, okay, and their walk, that will be very easy to make this world a very good place, a place which is very worthy of, you know, being sought by noble people. And such a people who are all indulging on all kinds of kami activities. Activity means who are all indulging in so many things which are related to their own personal selfishness and all that thing. But other people, like Mahans, what they do, the Kamis will think of the world as something which is worth pursuing with all those nice things in there. Whereas all the sages, they consider them as gutter only. They don't think of those people as anything worthy of their attention and their liking at all. They just ignore them. So they have given an example here. How can a Hamsa, a noble bird, can ever put its beak into the spit of a bird like a crow? So the entire worldly pleasures are considered to be the spit of a crow, and the wise people will never enjoy associating with them or even having anything to do with them. That is how the worldly things are all viewed by the sages. Shloka 49. आनन्दामृतपूरिताहरपदां भोजालवालोद्यतहं स्थैर्योपग्नमुपेत्य भक्तिलतिकां शाकोपशाखान्वितां उच्चैर्मानसकायमानपटलीमाक्रम्य निष्कल्मषहं नित्याभीष्टफलप्रदा भवतु मे सत्कर्मसंवर्धिता. As I told you, for some of the shlokas, I am just only giving the literal meaning only. I am not giving too much, because they are all just only poetic excellences than too much of Vedanta or anything involved in them. So that's why I am not going too much into the discussions. So here also, the Lord is as a creeper of devotion, my creeper, let it be filled with the happiness all the time. And from the lotus feet of the Lord, Lord Shiva, so it has got the support from the Lord, and it has got the branches and sub-branches, all the shakas, and spread over the entire frame of the lofty mind. Bhakti has spread all over the mind. Being free of sin, all kinds of evil qualities, all those thoughts of all have disappeared. They are all reared by what? Supported by good deeds, good samskaras, good vasanas. So let that Lord be the giver of the fruit of eternal object of desire. That means what? What is my eternal object of desire? Is only moksha. So let the Lord grant me that moksha. So that is what the prayer again here is. Ananda Amritam. Ananda Amrita means the happiness, the Amrita. The Ananda Amrita, the nectar of happiness. Purita. Purita means filled. So filled with the nectar of happiness. Hara Padam Padambhoja. The lotus feet, Pada Ambujam means the lotus feet of the Lord Shiva, is filled with the nectar of happiness. Alavala Udhyata means from the trench, around. Alavala means the trench around. Udhyata, the trench around that is rising from that. The one coming from that. What is that? Stairyam, Stairya Upagram Upedya. Stairya Upagram Upedya means having the support, the firmness, having got the firmness of support, a support from that. Bhakti Latika means again the creeper of devotion. Bhakti Shaka Upashaka Anvita, that bhakti that has got branches, shakas and upashakas means sub branches, main branches and sub branches, all those things are all there. I already told you what are the various branches of that bhakti: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, shambhoga, smaranam, padashevanam, all that thing. So all those branches and sub branches have erupted out of them. Uchaihi manasa, again the mind is considered uchaihi manasa. All these shlokas, they address the mind. Mind is compared to a bird. Mind is compared to a rajahamsa. Mind is always asked, in the cave of my mind, the Lord is there. And all those things, because everything, all bhakti is emotion. Emotion is mind's business. So the mind has to be in our vasham. The indriya, mind is antarindriyam. The antarindriyam should be in our control. Only when it is in our control, it can be directed towards the dhyana of the Lord. So that is why all these things address the mind, how it is very important to make the mind focus on the Lord's feet. So uchaihi manasa, that great mind. Kayamana patali means the frame. The kayamana patali means the thatched frame of the mind. Akramya, it has spread all over. Nishkalmasha, without any sin. It has spread all over without any sin. Nitya Abhishta. Abhishta means all desires and all these things. And this object, Nitya, eternal objects of desire, is what? Palaprada, the giver of all fruits of our action, the palam. Bhavatume, let that be for me. Sadkarma samvardita, supported by all good deeds. And that is what the prayer is about. So let the creeper of devotion, Bhakti Lata, filled by the nectar of happiness, rising from the trench around the lotus feet of the Lord. So around the lotus feet of the Lord, now imagine there is a feet of the Lord, around that Lord, now there is a trench, and from that trench, this Bhakti creeper is growing up, filled with the ambrosia of happiness. And having possessed the firm support where? On the feet of the Lord. Having the branches and the sub-branches, shakas and upashakas, they all have spread all over the lofty mind. It's all spread all over them. Being free of all sins and reared by all good deeds by the giver of the fruit of eternal knowledge and desire. That is liberation. That is that Lord, let him grant that to me. Actually, there's one of the Alvars, he had a beautiful imagination. Because the moment Lord's presence is there, even if there is any papam in the heart, it just vanishes. So this Alvar, he is very happy decorating the Lord. And one day, for some reason, he didn't like the decoration, whatever. So he said, the Lord is not looking very well or whatever it is. So the Lord got angry and he said, he called him he said, you are a papi or something like that, he called him. So then he said, by an ethereal voice, then the Arvar said, you don't call me like that, you come in front of me and call me by that name, I will accept. Then Lord said, okay, anyway, what I'm going to say is I'm going to stand by it, so I will come in front of you and say. So he came in front of this man and he was about to say, call him papi. The moment he uttered the letter Pa, he could not utter any more. Because in his presence, there cannot be any papam in anybody else who is standing in his presence. So this all, even though he wanted to call him papi, even the Lord could not call him papi, because in the presence of the Lord, all papas vanish. So even if he wants to call, he could not call. Even for Lord, that is the case. So that is the stage of this bhakta, who wants to now pray to the Lord so that all his sins. So in all these shlokas, the mind is concentrated and the mind gets more and more purified. So this is the path of karma yoga. As I told, bhakti is included in karma yoga. In karma yoga, one gets chitta shuddhi, so mind gets pure, and once chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata both are there, then a person can prepare oneself for pursuing jnana marga. And all these shlokas are essentially in the bhakti frame. They are preparing the mind to become yogyata, to become adhikari for pursuing jnana marga later. So with this, we'll stop here. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah sri krishna arpanam. As I told, many of the shlokas are only descriptive.